Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji to enlighten on our topic on glories of Srila Lochandas Thakur. Before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to request Tiffany Mataji to give a brief introduction about Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, please take over.
Hare Krishna. His Grace Dr. Keshavananda Prabhuji graduated in the year 1999 as a medical doctor in India. Prabhuji then took training under a British-born spiritual saint, His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj, of the Hare Krishna movement, and chose to live the life of a monk. He took serious study of Sanskrit under various scholars and also spent many years studying science, both modern and Vedic. In the last 20 years, he has been conducting seminars and lectures in various colleges and universities in India, as well as abroad in various themes. He is an inspiring speaker, a prolific writer, and has published books both in Hindi and in English. Some of his books in English are The Cheaters and the Cheated, Secrets of Yoga, Mighty Efforts, Crazy Ideas, and The Science and Science Fails to Explain Life. So Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji, for introduction of Prabhuji. Is Prabhuji on the call? I don't see yet. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Dhanavad pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association this morning. Please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. My voice is clear to everybody?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Just give me a minute.
Sure, Prabhuji.
Okay, so let's begin. ओम ज्ञानाजनशिलाचैतन्यमनोभिस्तम स्थापित येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयम् ददाति स्वपदाति. ओके सो नमो विष्णु कदाय कृष्ण कृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschar Krishna. Okay, so today we are going to talk on Lochandas Thakur. And of course, talking of Lochandas Thakur, we also have to talk about our Narahari Sarkar Thakur. Yeah, please hold on. Uvila is Kunigan. So, when we talk of Lochandas Thakur, we also have to talk about Narahari Sarkar Thakur because both of them are interlinked. Now, Narahari Sarkar Thakur is spiritual master of Lochandas Thakur. We know that. So, who is Lochandas Thakur? Let's talk about him. Who is he? Just please hold on. Rubilas, phone dena. Phone. I just want to record the audio of this. Anyway, so who is Lochandas Thakur? That we have to discuss today. It's I think it is his disappearance day. I guess so. Yeah. Now. The disappearance day of Lochandas Thakur, we are celebrating today. Last time, actually, they asked me to talk about Lochandas Thakur. It was appearance day, and we had very less time, so I couldn't really talk about him much. But luckily, we again got this Lochandas Thakur disappearance day. That was nice. Lochandas Thakur wanted to engage me in service because I wanted to speak about him. Okay, so who is he? Lochandas Thakur, he is he So before I tell about him, let me just tell you that he is one of the Nitya Parshad of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is an eternal associate, and I'll tell about his spiritual identity in a short while. But his biography about him, he himself mentions in his book, Chaitanya. He's himself mentioning about himself. And we also get some information about him from Gaudiya Vaishnav Abhidhan, which is actually a dictionary which was written by Santa Saraswati Thakur. And then later, I think Haridas, one of the Babaji's, he actually edited that. Later he added a few things in that. But in that book, about Lochandas Thakur, it's mentioned where he's born, what he did, whom he associated with, and why we revere him so much in our Gaudiya Vaishnav Samaj. And also why his book, Chaitanya Mangal, is not so popular among Gaudiya Vaishnavas. That is what we are going to discuss today. So who is he? Lochandas Thakur, he was actually born in a village, Kogram. Which is that village, Kogram, it is near Srikhanda, very near to Srikhanda. Srikhanda, which is a place of Naredi Sarvam. And if you want to go to Kogram today from Mayapur, suppose you are in Mayapur. So Mayapur, you catch a bus. So from Mayapur, you have to catch a bus and go to Krishnanagar. There's a place, Krishna. You catch a bus. In fact, you can catch a train from Krishnanagar to Calcutta. Many devotees who come to Mayapur, they come through Krishnanagar. Especially if you're coming from airport, if you catch a taxi, it'll come through Krishnanagar to Mayapur. So you go to Krishnanagar, and from there, Krishnanagar, you catch another bus, which will actually take you to. Actually, you don't have to go to Krishnanagar. Sorry, you can't go to from Krishnanagar. You cannot go to Kogram. It's not possible. First, from Mayapur, you have to cross Ganges. To cross Ganges and go to the other side, Old Navdeep, there. And from there, you go to Navdeep railway station. So often devotees, they come from Howrah station, they catch a train, come to Navdeep station. Most of you might have got down there, and then catch a rickshaw, go to Ghat, cross the Ghat, and go to ISKCON, like that. So come to Navdeep railway station, and from there catch a train to Katwa. Katwa, there is a place, Katwa, where Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And from Katwa, then you take a bus, which will take you to a place called as Nutan. We went like that. That's the most easy way. In fact, Bhakti Chandra Saraswati Thakur, he mentions all this route in his purport through Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada includes in Chaitanya Charitamrita and also in Gaudiya Vaishnava. Gaudiya Vaishnava Abhidhan. Abhidhan means an encyclopedia of Gaudiya Vaishnava. So you come to Nutan Hut, and on Nutan Hut bus station, you have to get down, and then from there you have to walk around 4 kilometers because you not get any rickshaw there. That's one beauty of God Mandal Parikrama. And if you go to God Mandal Parikrama, I'm not talking about Mayapur Parikrama or I'm not talking about God Mandal Parikrama, which ISKCON does, because that's a very small Parikrama. That is basically Navdeep Dham Parikrama. But I'm talking about God Mandal Parikrama. So if you go there, then you have to walk a lot. because there are buses, they take a bus, then walk. 4 kilometers you walk, and then you reach to this place, Gokram, which is actually besides a river, a very famous river in Bengal, which is by the name Ajay. Ajay, the river's name is Ajay. So if you go to Gokram, there you will find a small place, small samadhi of Lochandas Thakur. It's written Shinari Sarkar Thakur Shishye Lochandas Thakur. That's Chaitanya Mangalkarta is there, and you can visit there. And near that there is a house of one great poet of Bengal, Chatterjee. I forgot his name, some Chatterjee. So people who come to Gokram, they also visit that place. And then there is also one famous Shakti Beat, that is Durga Temple. So these three places are there to visit. Of course, we are interested in Lochandas Thakur. We are not interested in any other. So there, Lochandas Thakur was born there. And right from childhood, he was very interested in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Actually, he was interested in spirituality. He was very renounced. But then, as usual, as his parents saw that he's a renounced man, he'll not get married. You see all that, all those things. So he'll become a full time. It's like that. So they married him. Now remember that in previous times, they used to marry child marriage, used to, especially 500 years back, because very prevalent. So the girl may be some 8 years, the boy may be 11 years, or so when Lochandas Thakur was 14 years, the girl may be 10 years, they got him married. And when he grew up, of course, and then, but he was in spirituality. He was very interested in spirituality. And near Gokram, there was a place, Shrikhanda. Now, before I go to Shrikhanda, Lochandas Thakur tells about his father's name. His father's name was Kamlakar. Now, remember, this Kamlakar is different from Kamrakal Piplai, which Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions. He is one of the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kamlakar Piplai. But this is some other Kamlakar. And his mother's name was Sadanandi Devi. Sadanandi Devi. They are not so important. We don't know whether they were devotees or not. But nobody really mentions about them. So in childhood, he used to visit Shrikhanda. His father, he was a Vaidya physician. It seems that in Shrikhanda and in Gokram, these places near Katwa, these places belong to physicians. It seems like that these places belong to physicians because these because in Shrikhanda, Mukunda, Nariri Sarkar Thakur's elder brother, he was also a physician. So it seems, and his family is also a physician. So anyway, all physicians and physicians, that's one link between Shrikhanda and Gokram. But then Lochandas Thakur used to visit Shrikhanda because Shrikhanda was a vibrant spiritual place, very vibrant spiritual place. Because of presence of four great personalities of Shrikhanda. Five great personalities, which Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions. That is Nariri Sarkar Thakur himself, his elder brother Mukund Das, and then Chiranjeev Sen and Sulochan Das and Mukund Das' son Raghunandan. Now, these five people, they were Mahabhagavatas, Paramahamsas. In fact, eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Born at one place in one, they were all related somehow in family, related to each other. But so even today, if you go to Sri Khanda, you will find the house of Chiranjeev Singh, Sulochan Das, and also Narisarkar Thakur, Mukund Das, Raghunandan. Their houses you can go to. So I'll talk about them in a few minutes. But Lochan Das Thakur used to visit Sri Khanda when he was young. And he used to associate with Narisarkar Thakur. Narisarkar Thakur, who is he? Now he is the spiritual master of Lochan Das Thakur, Narhari Sarkar Thakur. Now his original name is Narhari. And Sarkar Thakur, that's a title given to him. Why? Because Narhari, he was one of the very unique associates of Lord Chaitanya. He was the only person among all the eternal associates of Mahaprabhu who used to actually sing in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is Krishna. Anybody else who used to sing, anybody used to tell Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "You are Krishna." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to close his ears. No. Govinda, Govinda, I'm Krishna. But here is a person, he was allowed to sing the songs in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is Krishna. That's very unique. Narisarkar Thakur, he used to live in Sri Khanda. And he, where is Sri Khanda? Sri Khanda is near Kogram. But if you want to go to Sri Khanda, you cannot go from Kogram to Sri Khanda today in modern times because there are fields and farms and river, Ajay River, a big river, you have to cross it. It will not be practical. So if you want to go to Sri Khanda, and many devotees visit there, you first go to Katwa. From Nabdi railway station, catch a train directly to Katwa. There's a train, local train, where Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And from Katwa, you catch a bus. Within 20 minutes, you are in Sri Khanda. Very near. So there, Sri Khanda is there. Now in Sri Khanda, you go to Narisarkar Thakur's place, and there you will find a beautiful deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So just give me a minute. Just a minute. Sorry. So there you will find a beautiful deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that deity was carved by Narisarkar himself. That deity was carved by him. Actually, he carved three deities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's in Katwa, where Mahaprabhu took sannyas, a very big deity, one of the very large deities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The smallest deity is there in Sri Khanda. Narisarkar Thakur, he is kept there in his place. And the middle-sized deity, that deity, middle-sized one, I think this much. The small size is this much. But the middle sized deity is this much, and big sized deity is like full size of me. So the middle sized deity is there in Eka Chakra Gram. If you go to Yogyanap Darshan. So all these deities, so there's a small deities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu And also Radha Gopinath is there. Beautiful deities of Radha Gopinath. And then there is a personal room of Narisarkar Thakur, where even today you can find the bed of Narisarkar. The bed is there on which he used to sleep. And the mosquito net. I don't know what mosquito net was doing 500 years back, but it was there. I don't know. Probably they put it. I think they would have put it recently, because who will make? Well, probably they might be making mosquito net out of cotton threads. That there is a mosquito net and the bed. You can still go. Pay obeisances there. So when Narisarkar Thakur disappeared, Lochandas Thakur attended. And then Narisarkar Thakur disappeared and stage was celebrated there. And still, Narisarkar Thakur Vamshaj. And the family lineage people, they are still staying there. You can meet them. They are Goswamis there. they're actually still living there. So that is the place. So that place is called as the whole village is called as Shrikhanda, and that place where Narisarkar Thakur Mukund. This Mukundas, Raghunandan Das, Chiran, these three people they were staying. That place is called Khandobasi. Khandobas. Local villagers, if you want to go there, then you have to ask them, where is Khandobas? They will lead you to Narisarkar Thakur's place. And then there is a pond there, Madhu Pushkarini. Beautiful pond, big pond. So it is said when Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu came there, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he asked for honey. Because Narisarkar Thakur, in Krishna Leela, he is actually Madhumati Sakhi. He's Madhumati Sakhi, who offers honey to Radha and Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu asked for honey. And Narisarkar Thakur was thinking, I'm going to get honey. So he considered a little bit, he went to the pond, and by his mystic powers, he converted the water into honey. And he took it and gave it to Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu drank and he was floating in ecstasy. That's Nityananda Prabhu. That is Narisarkar Thakur. And then Narisarkar Thakur sang many songs composed on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, considering him as Krishna. So he was singing a song, for example. His songs are like this. He's singing, Chaitanya Prabhu sitting in front of him and he's singing, oh my Lord, where is your flute? Where is your blue color? Where is your peacock feather? You are Krishna, I know that. That's how he's singing. And there was a big problem created because of his songs that I'll talk about later. But he's singing, but the point is he was a great singer. That's the point. And he made Lochandas Thakur into a great singer. Because the Shrikhanda Vasis, they were known for singing. In Bengal, if you still go, different villages have different styles of singing. Yeah, just give me a minute. I'll just close the door. So it's very cold nowadays. What to do? So the Shrikhand Vasis, they were actually great singers. And Bengal still, if you go, in many villages, they have different styles of singing. For example, if you go to this place, Jaji Gram, which is actually near Katwa and Shrikhanda, in between Shrikhanda and Katwa. The village Jaji Gram, where Srinivas Acharya, he used to stay. Srinivas Acharya, one of the eternal associates, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he developed a style of singing which is called as Manohar Shahi. Manohar Shahi. he used to sing in that style. And Narottam Das Thakur, he used to stay a long way from Jajigram near actually Padma River, northeast part of Bengal. Presently, that part has gone into Bangladesh. The place is called as Lal Gola. Lal Gola, that place. And there Narottam Das Thakur is to live. He had temples in Lal Gola and also the other side of Padma. He belonged to which place? I'm forgetting. He belonged to which place? Narottam Das Thakur. Kheturi, yeah. So near Padma River is here. The other side of Padma River is Bangladesh. This side is Bengal. So the Bangladesh side, there is Kheturi Gaon, and this side there is Lal Gola. So Narottam Das Thakur used to preach. He used to cross. At this time it was just Bengal. So he had centers in Lal Gola, he had centers in Kheturi, and that area was Narottam Das Thakur's preaching area. And he had a tremendous influence in Bangladesh and actually northeast Bengal. And there he developed a style of singing which is called as Gerhand style. Gerhand. So he had another style of singing. Most of the songs which we sing in ISKCON, which is written by Narottam Das Thakur, many songs, generally Gerhand style is having Vilambhit Lai. They just keep on stretching the notes. Hari Hari, it will just keep on going like that. You see, you have heard Bengalis. That's Gerhand style. And then Lochan Das Thakur, Sri Khanda people. Nari Sarkar Thakur, Mukund Das, Chiranjeev Sen, Lusu Lochan Das, Lochan Das Thakur himself. They developed a style of singing which is called as Panchali style. That's a very different style. Panchali style. So they had a different style of singing. So Lochan, Nari Sarkar Thakur, he was expert singer in Panchali style. Mukund Das and Raghunandan, they also became expert in Panchali style. So Lochan Das, Chiranjeev Sen, they also became expert in Panchali style. Chiranjeev Sen, he had two sons, Ramchandra Kaviraj and Govind Kaviraj. And both of them became disciples of Srinivasacharya. Because I told you, near Sri Khanda, there is Jajigram, very near. Like, I mean, this is just 15 minutes by bus. Just maybe not just 15 minutes, just 10 minutes by bus. So they became disciples. Disciples of Srinivas Acharya, and these were great singers, and many people used to go to Nari Sarkar Thakur school. Nari Sarkar Thakur had opened a school of singing, devotional songs, and that school, he opened a school near Sri Khanda, his house at Khandavas. It is a place called as Badadanga. He opened a school which was named as Badadanga. Baradanga, Badadanga. In Bengal school is called as Tol. So that place, Badadanga, he opened a school, and also it was his bhajan kuti. He made a bhajan kuti there. This was a house, and there he opened a bhajan kuti. It's almost like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had his house in Godrum Dweep, and then there was Swanand Sukhda Kunj, also where he used to do bhajan. So like that, because in the house there was wife, and then other people, children, so you can't do bhajan. So there, he often used to sing Badadanga. Now this Badadanga, why it is called Badadanga? Because there's a very, very big tree of actually Badri tree. Badri means bear. Hindi we call it bear. English we call it jujubi fruit. You can see on that jujubi. I just saw today what bear called as jujubi. So that big, very big tree in the center. So they used to sit there and they used to do bhajan and all. He made a koti and they had a platform there where he used to give classes. And Lochan Das Thakur used to attend that. He came there and he stayed with it. And he used to learn all these songs and bhajan and all these things. So Nari Sarkar Thakur actually he personally trained Lochan Das Thakur. That was his fortune. I told you, Narisaka Thakur is eternal associate. He is actually Madhumati Sakhi. His elder brother Mukundas, he was a physician in Nabab Hussain Shah court. The same court where Rupa and Sanatan, they were ministers, Nabab Hussain Shah. So Mukundas didn't used to live in Shrikhanda, but he's a physician to the king. So he used to live in Malda. Because Nawab Hussain Shah used to live in Malda. Malda is in the northeast of Bengal. He used to live there, where Rupa Sanatan used to live. So he was living there, and so he used to often visit Shrikhanda and go back. So there's a famous incident where he was gone, and he had deities, Radha Gopinath deities. I told you they're small deities. Small deities were personal deities of Mukunda. So he told his wife, "I'm going, you know, so you have to continue offering." So ask Raghunandan. Raghunandan was 5-year-old child. Ask him to offer food to Gopinath. Train him. Because females, you know, they can't offer food if they're contaminated. And there are other issues also. So she told Raghunandan, "Okay, offer the food." So he took the food, took it inside, and he's just praying, "Krishna, please take." Krishna is not taking. So he said, "Well, you know, I'm offering, you should eat." And it's a deity, but he didn't recognize, he didn't see him as a deity. He saw him as Sakshat Vrajendran. He said, "Well, you have to eat." So he took a stick and he said, "I'll beat you if you don't." So Krishna personally ate everything. Plate is finished. And he took out, and mother said, "Where is the offering?" He said, "Krishna ate." So mother said, "My God, this boy is so bad boy. He's eating," because they couldn't really imagine deities eating. It never happened, isn't it? So Mukund Das came and from Malda, and she said, "You know, these things are happening, and this boy has become mad. You know, he's eating." Said it even. Mukund Das said, "Well, ask him to offer. I'll hide and see." So he hid and saw Raghunandan. He again said, "Yeah, Krishna, eat. He showed a stick. Krishna took a laddu, and he ate it one bite, and suddenly he saw Mukund Das and he stopped. He became deities. So half laddu in his hand. So if you go. Hey, Radha Gopinath, if you see, the Pujari will show you. His hand is like this and half laddu is there. Still. That was Raghunandan Das. Raghunandan Das is actually Vishnu Tattva. That's quite interesting, isn't it? He's not Jiva Tattva. He's Vishnu Tattva. He's an incarnation of Pradyumna. And that's why Krishna is eating from his hand. And then, so this Raghunandan Das also used to go with Narisaka Thakur to actually Baradanga, do bhajan there, do kirtans there, and learn from Narisaka Thakur. And then there were two other brothers, Chiranjeev Sen and Sulochan Das. As soon as you enter Shrikhanda, you will find a place, an empty place. There's no house, just fields and weeds grown there. That was the house of Sulochan Das, Chiranjeev Sen. And now it's just abandoned. Because both the sons of Chiranjeev Sen, Govind Kaviraj, Ramchand Kaviraj, they became disciples of Srinivasacharya, and they remained brahmacharis, almost like brahmacharis. Ramchand Kaviraj, he was married, but then on the day of marriage, he left his wife. He became full-time on the day of marriage. He married, and his palki was going to the girl's house to take her. But in between, he heard Ramchand Srinivasacharya. He saw him and he became his disciple. Forget my wife. Just let her do whatever she wants. So these all people, they were in Baradanga. You see, so if you go to Shrikhanda, you can go to this Baradanga. That dust is sanctified by all these Mahabhagavatas. Raghunandan, Vishnu Tattva, Narisaka Thakur, Madhumati, Sulochan Das, Chiranjeev Das, they were also eternal associates. Ramchand Kaviraj, they were also eternal associate of Srinivasacharya. And Lochan Das Thakur was there. Srinivasacharya, he also used to visit Baradanga often. They're very nearby, so they were visiting. They obviously were visiting each other. So Lochan Das Thakur was learning there from these people. And he learned, and then Srinivasacharya Thakur told him to compose Chaitanya Mangal. he told him to compose songs on the past tense of Lord Chaitanya. But the whole problem was he was married. So when he became adult, his parents said, his wife came and his wife's father, and they said, come on, you know, it's time for my daughter to come to your house. So where is Ochandas? He said, he's in Baladanga. So they said, my God, what is this calling back? So they approached Nari Sarkar Thakur and said, you know, his wife has come back and he has to take care of his wife. So Nari Sarkar Thakur said, okay, go back, then what to do? So he came back and his parents told, you go and bring your wife from her village. So near Kogram, there's another village called as Ahmadpur. It's a Muslim name, but Ahmadpur. So he was supposed to go to that village, bring the wife back. Now remember, they were married in the child, you know, and in the child when she was like 10, 8 years old. now she became an adult. She might have become 15 years old. And Lochandas Thakur might have become 21, like that. So he went there and he was said, okay, what to do? Where is the house of my wife? I don't know. He just forgot everything. So he was going on the path, and he was going on the path, and then he found his wife, found a lady there, and the lady he asked the lady, so I'm looking for this and this, let's say, this female, so I don't know the wife's name, but he was asking, wife's parents' name, but he was asking that female, that where is this and this place and this and this place. So address that female as mother. He said, ma, where is this? And then she told, my God, that is me. When he mentioned her name. And then he said, oh, I called your mother, you know, so, well, I can't really live with you. Now I'll see you as mother. I think it was a good excuse to not to stay with her. Very good excuse. I addressed you as mother, so what to do, you know, it's my vow. Whatever I say, I follow. He just left. I went back to Nariskar Thakur, oh, good, you know. Now you're out of this blind well, come on and write something about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now at that time, there was one book. You should remember, at that time there was no Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's very important to know. Chaitanya Bhagavat was not there. Chaitanya Charitamrita was not there. So there is practically no scripture about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There were some scriptures here and there, but that too were from Upper Sampradaya people, some screwed up things. But there was no bona fide scripture about past times of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was one scripture, actually two of them. One was Chaitanya Charitra Mahakavya. Chaitanya Charitra Mahakavya, composed by Murari Gupta, which mainly consists of Navdi past times of Lord Chaitanya and some few years after sannyas of Mahaprabhu. It's just few years, 2-3, that's all. Chaitanya Charitra Mahakavya. That was in Sanskrit, so it was not accessible to Bengalis. And so Nariskar Thakur said, okay, take that book, change it into Bengali, transcribe it into Bengali, but then compose songs on that basis. Don't just write a prose, compose poetry and songs, because we are all trained as singers. And then this will just spread like wildfire. Because you see, one Prabhupada's purport, Srila Prabhupada, one devotee was asking, Prabhupada, should I write songs about Krishna consciousness, poems? Prabhupada said, well, first you read my books, because writing songs is a very big thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote songs about Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And it spread like fire. Everybody is singing Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs. Or Narottam Das Thakur's Prathna. That's how this word goes, because people like to sing songs while working, while walking. And they can remember these songs. So he said, composing songs. So he wrote Chaitanya Mangal in songs, which was actually information gathered from Chaitanya Charitra Mahakav. And in Panchali style, which is the style of singing of Sri Kanda. And while that time, actually not while that time, but just before that, just before that, or maybe, yeah, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he had written a book, Chaitanya Mangal. He also wrote a book, Chaitanya Mangal. Almost at that time, let's say, like, or just before that, he also wrote a book, Chaitanya Mangal. And he also writing Chaitanya Mangal. So, well, he went to Vrindavan Das Thakur, he showed his book, and he showed his book. Both of them shared, and they were so appreciable. But then they said, it's a confusion, you know, both books are Chaitanya Mangal. So later, Vrindavan Das Thakur's book was changed to Chaitanya Bhagavat. They changed the name to Chaitanya Bhagavat. Because Vrindavan Das, Chaitanya Leela Vyas. So Vyasdev wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, Vrindavan Das wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat. That was good. And Chirochan Das Thakur's book is called Chaitanya Mangal. Now remember, this is happening after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has disappeared from this planet. This you should remember. He wrote Chaitanya Mangal after Mahaprabhu disappeared from this planet. And perhaps Narisakar Thakur, he was also not there, perhaps. Or he was there, I don't know. We have to check it. But anyway, but he wrote this Chaitanya Mangal. And he dedicated Chaitanya Mangal to Narisakar Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mangal. That's what he did. But this book, since it was in song form, and this book was Chaitanya Mangal and Chaitanya Bhagavat is a little difference. Chaitanya Mangal is called Rasatmika Shastra. It's full of rasa. The philosophy of rasa is there. But Chaitanya Bhagavat is called as Varnatmatmak Shastra. That is, Chaitanya Bhagavat tries to describe the incidences in the life of Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu. Historical incidences. Historical timeline. But Chaitanya Mangal is not like that. It's more of songs and the feelings. He has tried to focus on the feelings. So that is why in our sampradaya, Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat is focusing on the Navadvip Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita is focusing on the Puri Leela, or especially the Anta Leela, the last part of Mahaprabhu's lifetime. And both are focusing on historical incidences and philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnava. So these two books became really the central lifeline of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mangal was not so much popularized because, of course, it is in Rasatmika form and song form. And Bhakti Santa, Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they wanted to project our Gaudiya Vaishnavism as a philosophical movement, because at that time there were so many Sahajiyas. Our whole Gaudiya Vaishnavism or Krishna consciousness or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement became full of Sahajiyas and full of singing and kartals and songs. So they wanted to really divert Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the stream of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, into a different direction, a philosophical direction. So they didn't really focus on Chaitanya Mangal. That was one reason. Another reason they didn't focus on Chaitanya Mangal because Chaitanya Mangal, because see, you see Narisarkar Thakur, his whole mood is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is externally is a devotee, but internally he's like Krishna. His whole mood is like that. That's a special mood. But Mahaprabhu is not like that. Mahaprabhu, we know, he's internally also a devotee, externally also a devotee. He's a mood of Radharani. But Narisakar Thakur, he didn't used to see Mahaprabhu like that. He used to see Mahaprabhu as Krishna, as Murli Manohar. And that's why he used to sing like that in front of Mahaprabhu. So his tone, his mood, also percolates in Chaitanya Mangal, his disciple, Lochan Das Thakur. And because of that misunderstanding, the whole another sect, Sahajiya sect, started in Sri Khanda, which is called as Gaurang Nagari. Still, everybody's Gaurang Nagari there. Gaurang Nagari, Nagari means hero. Nagari means a boyfriend. So people who follow Narisakar Thakur later, they said, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is a hero of all the gopis. Mahaprabhu, externally, he's in the mood of devotee, but internally, he's mood of Krishna. So that's how his avatar is here. But Krishna's Kaviraj Swami, Vrindavan's Thakur, they don't inform us like that. They say, well, externally, internally, he's in the mood of a devotee. We know that. Krishna's Kaviraj Swami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this famous verse, Radha Sovelata Dyuti. He's covered by the effulgence of Radharani, and he has the mood of Radharani. He came to relish the mood of Radharani. That was he. So there's a whole upper sampradaya sect, Gaurang Nagari, created. They are even still present there, Gaurang Nagaris. So Bhakti Santa Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they saw that Chaitanya Mangal got associated with Gaurang Nagaris. The central book of Gaurang Nagari is Chaitanya Mangal. So if you don't read Chaitanya Mangal properly, in proper guidance, it's very likely that you will become Gaurang Nagari and you will not actually understand the real Siddhanta. So they didn't popularize this book because of that fear that people will become Gaurang. They will actually mix with Gaurang Nagari and they'll get a wrong mood. So although Lochandas Thakur, although whatever we know about Lochandas Thakur, whatever his credit is, it's due to Chaitanya Mangal. And this is history, what happened, Chaitanya Mangal. it didn't get so much popularized. But we can read, that's nice, there are nice songs there. Very beautiful book. That's Lochandas Thakur. And then Lochandas Thakur, we don't know how he disappeared. We don't know actually. Perhaps he disappeared. Yeah, he was there in Sri Khanda, Vadadanga, and he disappeared there. Perhaps he was whole entire life he was there, and then his samadhi is made in Gokula. If you go, still there is samadhi in Gokula, and that's about Lochandas Thakur and about his connection with Sri Khanda. That is part of it all. So I think let's offer obeisances to Lochandas Thakur. Who is he, by the way, in Krishna Leela? He is actually Lochan Sakhi in Krishna Leela. Lochan Sakhi. Lochana Sakhi. So he's also one of the Sakhi under the guidance of Madhumati Sakhi. Narisakha Thakur, right? Eternally, Krishna Leela. He's no ordinary man like that. And he's eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. I just forgot to tell one thing. This Gaurang Mahaprabhu's deity, which is there in Sri Khanda, small deity. So I told you that three deities were carved when Narisakha Thakur. That tree from which these three deities are carved, it's still there, the portion of the tree. And that is there in Ketugram, which is actually within Katwa district. If you go still today, you will find that tree, some portion of tree. And how that tree came about? So actually, Lord Chaitanya and Nityan Prabhu, when they were doing kirtans in Godmandal, Mahaprabhu once, Nityan Prabhu, their whole party stopped in Ketugram, and in Ketugram, Mahaprabhu took a datun, neem datun, from a neem tree. Datun means brush, neem stick to brush. He took a neem datun, he did, and he put it in the ground. And where he put it on the ground, their tree grew up. And from that very tree then, a portion of the tree, Narisakha Thakur, he formed these three deities. One smallest is in Sri Khanda, the largest is in Katwa, where Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and the middle one is in Ekacha. Anyway, this is about Lochandas Thakur. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Lochandas Thakur ki jai. Anybody wants to ask anything, I'll just finish there. Yeah, but before finishing, I just want to tell one thing. That actually this, the name Sri Khanda, that's very unique. So what is this name, Sri Khanda? Now, just a historical fact. Sri Khanda in Sanskrit, it is a Sanskrit name for sandalwood tree. sandalwood tree is called Srikhanda. But there is no sandalwood tree in Srikhanda. That's not the reason. And this name Srikhanda of sandalwood tree, that was given by one person called as Narahari. The same name was Narahari. Narahari Bhattacharya, that was from Kashmir. And Narahari Bhattacharya, he wrote a book. He was also a physician. He wrote a book which is called as Raj Nighantu, Ayurvedic book. And there he mentions the name sandalwood tree is called as Srikhanda. But remember, this Sri Narahari is very different from our Narahari Sarkar Thakur. Our is Narahari Sarkar Thakur, this is Narahari Bhattacharya. But they were living at the same time, same century. They were actually simultaneously living. But Srikhanda has nothing to do with Srikhanda. Srikhanda is called Srikhanda because Khanda means symbol. Khanda means symbol of victory. So Srikhanda, beautiful symbol of victory. That's the whole idea. The victory of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, of victory of Krishna consciousness over all other Siddhanta. Narahari Sarkar Thakur, they were great singers, and Lochan Das Thakur, they were great singers and great philosophers also. They were defeating people in all philosophical systems and establishing Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And that's why that place came to be known as Srikhanda. Like that. Anyway, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, please. Anybody wants to ask anything, they can ask me. Go ahead then.
Hare Krishna, Swati Mataji, you raised your hand. You can go ahead, Mataji. Please unmute yourself.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandat Nam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Am I audible, Prabhuji?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was really, I was feeling I was there and I want to hear more and more. You depicted very well, Prabhuji. So I am having 2-3 doubts in my little mind. Prabhuji, one thing, you were telling one story where Raghunandan ji offering food to deities and they accepted, personally came and accepted.
Yeah.
So, Prabhuji, I don't know about them only. I have heard this story many times for many devotees in past. So, it is true for all of them, or this is the particular case?
About many devotees offering and Krishna eating.
Yes.
Who else is there?
I don't recognize the name, but from ISKCON, Prabhuji's, when I hear lecture,
yeah,
I have heard.
Yeah, you're right. Many acharyas, they offer food and but actually
not acharyas, their sons especially.
All these stories which you hear, if Krishna is eating like that, it's all sentimental stories. You should not believe that. It's all sahajya. Sahajya, you understand sahajya, no?
Yes, Prabhu.
It's all sahajya. The only Gaudiya Vaishnav authentic story of Krishna eating food directly from his hand, that is only Raghunandan. There is no other deities, there is no other acharya story in Gaudiya Vaishnavism where Krishna has food, he's eating and how left. There's no nothing like that.
Okay.
So you should not believe all those stories. I don't know my quantities, they quote these stories, but we have to have authenticity, I don't know.
Maybe I have not heard the name. Maybe they were telling about Raghunandan Swami Dasji. And Prabhuji,
speak on.
Second question is, Prabhuji, there are so many great acharyas we never heard before like this. Prabhupada ji's books or translated books bhajan books which we see, there is not so much description, like they have written so many poems composed. So where we can get if we want to read? Like you have told just about Chaitanya Mangal book and Chaitanya Bhagavat.
I'll tell you one thing. Have you gone through Chaitanya Charitamrita of Prabhupada?
Not purely, matlab. I hear lectures.
Okay.
So
if you read Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, much of the information is given in the purport. So you type on folio on Chaitanya Adilila, and you type Sri Khanda, and the section will come there. And all the information where Narasimha Thakur, these people used to stay, Lochandas Thakur is given there. Now that's one day. Chaitanya Mangal you can always get from net, or you can get. And Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's all available. I mean, to see Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is a commentary by Bhakti Chandra Saraswati Thakur. So you can get it from net, download it. Chaitanya Charitamrita with commentary of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And you can read it. These are very nice books, actually.
Okay, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, one more doubt. Actually, I was very amazed when you told ki when Nityanand Mahaprabhu asked for honey and Narhari Sarkar Thakur, he converted pond into honey. It is really amazing.
Yeah.
And in Vaishnav Gaudiya history, I hear this type of conversion, matlab chamatkar, you can say, first time. Otherwise, in other sampradayas or like Sahajiyapan, I don't know what to say. I hear so many chamatkar stories. But in Vaishnav Gaudiya sampradaya, this is first.
I can tell you so many chamatkar of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But the whole point, you know, because Gaudiya Vaishnava, we don't focus on that. Because otherwise our whole movement will become like Chamatkari movement. So we focus on philosophy. But there's so many acharyas are doing left and right. So many things. So in near Sri Khanda, there is a village called as Mamagachi. And there was one acharya staying. What is his name? But one acharya was staying and he was preaching to tigers and lions. He was going in jungle and then lion was sleeping and then he used to slap the lion and he used to say, why are you wasting time? Say, Hare Krishna. He was speaking Hare Krishna. So like that. But we don't focus on that. You see, we are very different from Sahajiyas. Because we don't really give credit to all these miracles. We don't really give, personally. That is literally what acharya says. Because these miracles are not real miracles. For us, real miracle is actually attaining love of God and changing our consciousness. That's what was style of this Siddhanta. But at the same time, it shows that these people were great people. But it should not be confused with other stories which are sentimental stories. They are doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. That's what they are doing. It's not to just really show off like that. So, but it's good to know these things. You can read this book, Chaitanya Mangal.
Yes, Prabhuji, this is good to know about Chamatkar also, because when we want to attract, when we preach to people, then they're attracted by these kind of story first in starting. After that, they want to listen philosophy. They want some Chamatkar. So, thank you so much, Prabhuji. It is my pleasure. I'm here. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions for Prabhuji? Please go ahead.
What's that? I can't.
Abhiram Saka Prabhu from Charlotte.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my obeisances. This is Abhiram Sakharov from Charlotte.
Ah, yeah.
So nice to hear you, Prabhu. So wonderful class. One simple doubt, technical doubt. When Krishna comes in this material world with various leelas, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna Avatar himself, what does happen to these associates who are there, who are serving Krishna eternally in the Goloka, but then they also come and participate? So do they have Dvi Rupa, in the sense they are also serving simultaneously and they are also serving here?
Okay. So it's a very good question. You see, so I'll give you the evidence for that. So if you read Brihad Bhagavatamrit, part 3, Brihad Bhagavatamrit is in 3 parts. Or maybe 2 parts. So almost in the end of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, so there's a personality, Gop Kumar, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
Yes.
So that Gop Kumar goes to, finally reaches Golok and Vrindavan. like he is not satisfied in Shivlok, Vaikunth Lok everywhere. So Vrindavan, he actually asked this question. Not in Vrindavan. Before going to Vrindavan, he was in Dwarka. So in Dwarka, when he went, what happened was, he met Uddhav, met him, and Uddhav told, you know, you don't have any place to stay, so you come and stay with. So there, Devarshi Narad also came. And he asked this question to Devarshi Narad, you know, like, you are here now, but few minutes back, I saw you in Vaikuntha. And then few minutes back, I saw you in Earth. Like, what's happening, you know? Then Narad Muni said, you know, you fool, you are in spiritual world. And you don't know that you're also existing in many places. And he was saying, come on, what's happened? He said, come on, you know, you are liberated. So you don't be so foolish. Liberated people, they can expand. And then he told, you see all the associates of Krishna, they also can expand. When Krishna expands, they also expand and they also come. So they're simultaneously saying here, simultaneously saying there. And simultaneously, actually three pastimes are going on parallel. One is Vrindavan manifest pastimes on earth. One is unmanifest pastimes on earth. And one is eternal pastimes in Golok.
Very well.
So three. So they are expanded into three parts. And all of them can actually go from one dimension to another dimension. They can travel here and there. They are all beyond space and time. So that's the point.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Okay, so where is our host? Hare Krishna.
Any more questions for Prabhuji? Please go ahead.
Questions. Yeah.
Till the time, Mataji, may I ask one more question?
Yeah, let's wait if anybody have any more question, Mataji. Otherwise, we can take your question. Yeah. Anybody having any more questions for Prabhuji? Please go ahead. Go ahead,
Mataji. Prabhuji, I'm having one question. I'm in profession of teaching, and in that now we are grooming about fact and perception. Nowadays, one topic is there. We should focus on facts, not on the perception, if we want to deal with someone like this. But what I feel, if I'm in a perception, like I'm having perception, Krishna is there. Matlab, it is true, but right now though, I'm having that perception about Krishna Leela and all the things I have not seen.
So
living in the perception is not good.
No,
if
no.
I'm in a good perception.
No, it's not actually, good. Perception is all mental creation, isn't it? You're thinking about from your mind, am I right? So whatever you're thinking of your mind, that is called Prakrit. But Prakrit, Bhakti Sandhya used to say, Prakrit ras kabhu bole na. Whatever is Prakrit, whatever is mental construction, that you cannot please Krishna well. It cannot reach Krishna. It's impossible. So that is why Bhakti Sandhya Bhakti Thakur used to say, always live in fact. You have to read Shastras and then you have to see Krishna through the eyes of scriptures. You can't imagine. We can't imagine in our mind something about Krishna. You see the point? You're getting my point, no? So, and that is basically called as Sahajism. So for example, suppose we are thinking now, okay, Krishna is beautiful and he's dancing with gopis. And we are thinking something in our mind, you know, he's dancing like this and gopis are dancing like this. Something, we are thinking like that. But that is called Sahajya because that didn't happen like that. You have to read how Krishna danced. What exactly he did. Suppose you are thinking, okay, Krishna danced like this and then gopis held the hand of Krishna like this, feeling good. But it didn't happen. Then Krishna didn't do like that. Now you have to read whether Krishna did like that or Krishna did like this. Exactly what he did. Otherwise we are imagining. And that imagining is called as Sahajism, and that's very harmful because we can imagine anything, but then that's not reality. We are in illusion. That's called illusion. So then, so because on the basis of this, then many upper sampradayas came. This is the problem with upper sampradayas. Sakhi Veki, Chuda Hari, all these Bhakti Sandha said, they keep on thinking in their mind something about Krishna and how they are, what their own relationship with Krishna. And then they become sentimental. No, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says exactly what happened. For example, Prabhupada gives an example. Now, how Krishna killed Kamsa. So Prabhupada is writing, I think, a Krishna book. Some people imagine, okay, suppose now Krishna is killing King Kamsa and you're thinking, okay, Krishna went to Mathura and he got hold of Kamsa's hair. He pulled him down, isn't it? That's the explanation. And then you might be thinking, okay, then he might have just thrown him like that and hit him like that. But you have to exactly see how he did. So Prabhupada says he actually held his hair, pulled him down, and then he punched him on the face. Three, four times, then he died. That's all. Nothing else. So you have to exactly see. That is why scriptures are there. That is why Bhagavatam is there. Otherwise, we'll be in our own imagination. So that is perception and fact. Perception should be based on facts and not without facts.
Facts should be stronger than perception.
Yeah. The fact should be stronger. Fact should be the basis of perception. Otherwise, we'll just keep on thinking something. Going to illusion.
Means I should also stop my thinking. I think so much about Krishna. Yeah.
You see, the whole point is to make Krishna happy. You see, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what's the logic. Whatever you're thinking of Krishna, why we are thinking of Krishna? That's the whole point. Why we are thinking of Krishna? Now you tell me why you are thinking of Krishna. Why?
Because there is so much ananda, you can say, ras.
That's the problem. That's not right way of thinking. We are not thinking of Krishna because there's so much ananda. There is ananda. We know that. But we are not thinking of because of that. Because then it will be sense gratification.
Okay.
Then it will be lust. It will not be prem. It will be our own desire. Am I right? So we are thinking of Krishna because Krishna, when we think of Krishna, Krishna is seeing in our heart what we are thinking. And he'll become happy. We are thinking of Krishna to make Krishna remember his pastime. So if you are thinking something else and Krishna is seeing and Krishna will say, I didn't do that. This is crazy. I didn't do my thinking like that. So we are, you see the point, our mind is like a screen. Picture hall, you know picture hall? So it's like a screen. And on that screen, we're thinking of Krishna. And that picture, who is seeing that picture? Paramatma, Krishna in our heart. So we are showing Krishna a movie by thinking of Krishna. That is our service. So that he becomes happy. So we can't show him anything imagined. Because he will become annoyed. He will say, this didn't happen. Why is he thinking like that? He's crazy or what? And he's in his own world. So that you see now the point. So we can't think anything else. He'll become annoyed. So we have
attitude
to exactly...
should be service attitude. Then service attitude will become automatically happiness. Service attitude. To serve Krishna.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got it. That way.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for a beautiful answer. We have one more question here. Why Krishna do leelas in India only?
First, I have a question for you.
No, this is not my question, Prabhu.
I have a question for you.
For me?
Yeah.
Prabhuji?
Yeah, but my question is, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's photograph is behind you?
Mine, because not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, it's Srila Lochindas Thakur's, right? The today was the glories of...
So why that photograph is behind you? That's the whole point.
It's not behind me, Prabhu. It's just a poster, Prabhu. It's not behind me.
It's a screen. It's a virtual screen.
Yes.
Yeah. So do one thing from next time. Next time, don't put a virtual screen behind you. You know why I tell you? Because when I am seeing, anybody is seeing, it for us, not for you.
Mm-hmm.
For us, you are in front, he is behind. So it looks very odd, isn't it? It looks odd. He's behind you.
Okay, so
you
okay.
See the point?
Zoom has the future like this. So that's why we are using it. You can remove that, Prabhu. This is a Zoom future. I am not putting him behind me. It's a Zoom future, oh, Prabhu.
Well, it is doing itself.
Yeah, I can put any picture that I want. So today's class is related to his glory. So that's why I put his picture. That's it, Prabhu. Thank you.
Anyway, I was feeling odd by seeing this.
Okay, no.
Anyway,
problem.
Just forget it. Forget it. Okay. Zoom is like, what can we do? Anyway, so what was the question? Tell me.
Yeah, the question is, here one of the chat I got from Vijay Prabhu. The question is that why Krishna does Leela only in India?
Oh, this is a very, very common question people ask. Actually, we were discussing this the other day. And the whole answer is, there are actually two answers for this. One answer is that previously, India was Bharat. Bharat was, entire world was Bharatvarsh. It was not just India. Now today, politically, India is India. And then there's Europe, Persia, Russia, and all these people. But at the time of Parikshit, whole world was Bharatvarsh. And in fact, Rishis were staying outside. Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavatam, Kashyap Rishi, he was staying in Europe. So there's a sea, Caspian Sea. Caspian Sea is named after Kashyap. Kashyap, from Kashyap comes Kashyap. Those people, they don't pronounce Kashyap, so they're from Kashyap. Russia is coming from Rishis. It was land of Rishis. So that is by the name Mahabharat. Bharat was, entire world was Bharat. So if you say Krishna comes in India, that's not right, because he came 5,000 years back. The entire earth was Bharat. So he came. One answer is like that. But anyway, but still we see Krishna and Ram, at least geographically, they are coming in India. I mean to say below Himalayas, region below Himalayas. So in the land between Ganga and Saraswati, that's called Aryavrat. There, Krishna is coming, Ram is coming. But he's sending his great prophets, his associates to all over the world. I mean to say, Prophet Muhammad, Christ, they were actually powerful personalities. They were son of God, friend of God. And God sent them there to preach, and they preached. Okay, but now Krishna came in India. Okay, let's say. So Krishna came in Aryavrat, Ram came in Aryavrat, Buddha came in Aryavrat. But at the same time, what about other avatars? What about Matsya avatar? Where did he come? We don't know. So Matsya avatar is coming like all over the world. He's, I don't know in which ocean he was there. But it is said Manu caught that small fish in the pond, and then it grew big and they put it in the ocean. And where was actually Narsingh avatar? We say in India, but actually we don't know. Actually, he was going all over the world. We have no idea. The form was very big. But at large, we can say these avatars are coming. Especially if you talk about Krishna and Ram, they're coming in Aryavrat, which is modern India. Why is that? One reason can be, you see, I don't have evidence, but one reason can be, and if you read scriptures carefully, you see, if you read Vedas and if you read Bible and Quran and actually Judaism, Jews, Old Testament, you see Old Testament Bible, most of the prophets and saints which came outside India, outside Aryavrat, most of them were killed by those people. They were mostly Malechas and Yavanas and Barbarians, and they killed their own prophets. Old Testament is full of stories, full of incidences that they killed their own prophet. In fact, Christ, when he came after Judaism and he changed the direction of Judaism to Christianity, he said, come on, you know, you people are fools. You killed all your prophets and still you're killing me. You're killing me. I'm come with a message and you're killing me. So the history of those people is full of actually killing their own saints and sadhus. And how much offensive they would have been. They actually crucified Christ. And because of that offense, whole Jerusalem was actually brought to dust within 300 years. Rome destroyed Jerusalem. And if you go to Jerusalem today, it's just one wall there. Am I right? One wall, the big temple of Jerusalem. Just one wall is left. It was powdered, crushed. That's a great offense they were doing to their own prophets and to God. So you can imagine if Krishna would have come there, they would have also crucified Krishna. They would have just get hold of Krishna. Come on, you know, come here. And they would have put him on the crucify and nailed him down. And even Ram, you know, they would have done something. So these people, you see, Aryavrat was a place between Saraswati and Ganges on both sides, Himalaya on the top, below it's Malai Parvat. What's Malai? Yeah. I think Gandhamadhan, what's that for the range? I think Gandhamadhan mountain. So this whole area is Aryavrat. So this Aryavrat was known for people who were actually reading Vedas and who were well-cultured people. And God could come there and these people would actually honor him and not actually do bizarre things and actually respect them. And that's how they would benefit by his presence. And then they could actually glorify his pastimes and qualities and leelas. And it happened like that because they were already civilized people. So it would benefit them if God would come here. But if he would have come there, then they would be implicated in offenses more than their devotion. And they would have gone to hell eternally. I mean to say, if they are killing their own prophets, and if they would just try to kill God, what would happen with them? And that is why you see outside, there is one more reason why it didn't come outside this Aryavrat. Because outside Aryavrat, God didn't think in his wisdom to actually reveal to them his form and qualities and pastimes. That's why you see Islam, Allah, his form is not revealed. Muslims do not think that Allah is formless. Some sects might be thinking, but Orthodox Islam, they don't think he's formless. They think we do not know his form, and his form cannot be casted in the image of man. Similarly with Christianity and Judaism, they also don't know about the form. They believe there's a form. Why? Because God didn't reveal his form and qualities and pastimes they had invented their own forms of goats and dogs and pigs, and they were worshipping whatnot, you know, and all these demons and their own concocted bhoot forms and all these things. So to stop that, God said, well, I don't have a form. I mean to say, I have a form, but it will not be revealed to you. And destroy all these statues. And that's why when Prophet Muhammad went to Mecca, he destroyed all these statues there. And he said, no, God is everywhere. Just remember this. That's all. And he's in his heaven and where Jannat. And that's all. And don't make his image in the image of man. They were not even qualified. They were not even well evolved and civilized to be given this secret knowledge of the form and pastimes and qualities of God. If that was their position, why would God himself personally come there? If you're going to do that, they were not even qualified for getting the knowledge that he is a form. And if that was their position, how would he just come there and take avatar there? That is why he came to India. Because India means, India is not a good word, in Aryavrat. Because these people were reading Vedas, they knew God as a form. Vedas, it's clear. They were civilized. They knew how to respect saints. They knew how to respect God. And they were very evolved in philosophy, philosophical systems. So what came? And he's not interested in Aryavrat or that Vrat or that Vrat. Because he takes avatar in so many planetary systems continuously, universe after universe. And whatever he does, it's for benefit of people. So he thought, you know, outside, they're not ready. Outside Aryavrat, people are not ready to actually behold me and have my darshan and get this knowledge. So it didn't come. It benefited them like that. Within Aryavrat, he thought, okay, these people are evolved and already civilized and brahmanas. They're ready to behold my form. He came here. Even when he came, still many people didn't recognize him. And many people were anti his whole, people were anti Shishupal and all these people. But nevertheless, many people benefited. And now we sing his pastimes and qualities. Indians, we don't have any problem. Krishna is having form. But if you go to outside Aryavrat, you see Christian, Judeo-Christian Islamic religion. If you say God has a form, they will say blasphemy, kafir, kill him. That's the whole idea. So it's a progressive evolution, I think. And in God's wisdom, he whatever he does, it's for the benefit of people. He's not attached to India or that or that. That's out of question. He's God. So I think these are the few reasons by most of the God incarnations of God, they came in Aryavrat. That's what I can think of. Yeah, that's my take on this.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Okay, satisfied. Good. Fine.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions for Prabhuji?
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. One thing struck me that you said if Krishna would have come there, they would have killed him also. But instead of you should have said if Krishna would have come there, he has to kill everybody there because Krishna killed so many demons, right? He even in Vrindavan, he was killing, every day he was killing demons.
Okay, so that's also a very good logic.
yeah. Sorry, Prabhuji. But yeah.
Fine. That's good. Okay.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very beautiful class. I have one question. Who was the Lochandas Thakur in Krishna Lila?
I just told
Lochana Sakhi, right?
Yeah, Lochana Sakhi.
So, Prabhuji, there are Ashta Sakhis, right?
Yeah.
So, Ashta he was Sakhi. In there or?
No. He's not in Ashta Sakhi. He's actually assistant of some one of the Sakhis. So, actually, this Madhumati Sakhi, who is actually Narisakar Thakur, he is assistant of actually Tung Vidya Ashta Sakhi. He is one of the Sakhi. So Tung Vidya's assistant is Madhumati Sakhi.
Yeah.
And Madhumati Sakhi's assistant is Lochandas. Lochana Sakhi, like that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Beautiful class, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again for the
class. Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Questions, we can close here.
Actually, I just wanted to say one thing to this Vinita. Who is this Vinita Mataji? Vinita, who is?
Prabhuji, this is Vinita Devidasi. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So, anyway, I just told you about the Lochandas Thakur. Anyway, I just told like that. So, don't mind for that.
No problem, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Okay, if there are no more questions, we can close here call. I would like to offer my obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas assembled here. Vancha Kalpata Rupesya.
Yesha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam
Pavane Vaishnava
Namah. Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Yeshwananda Prabhuji
Ki Jai.
Thank you.
Thank you.